Acts chapter 9, 1 through verse 31. I'm going to read this to you. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for a letter to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, belonged to Christ, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem as he neared Damascus on his journey. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blinded and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all whom call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the home and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch at the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the other disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit and increased in numbers. It's a long scripture, huh? And I hope I read it well enough for you. But I wanted to read it first so that you would, I mean, it's kind of just in itself, it's kind of interesting listening to, isn't it? But the whole thing that we've been doing these past couple of weeks is learning to study. So you can read the scripture like that and get a lot from it. But through study, you glean so much more. And now what I'd like to do is I'd like to break it down and share with you what I've gleaned from it and share with you how it can be applicable to your life. Because isn't that what this is about? Isn't it about taking God's word and applying it to our lives? So that isn't it about trying to become more like Christ? It's what it's about. So I encourage you in this studying that Pastor Bob has so wisely started, because it is important. It is important. So I want to break it down. Verse 1 says this: Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest. He went to the big guns, right? He went to the head hierarchy there, and he said, asked them for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners into Jerusalem. You see, Saul, he was a high priest guy. He knew scripture. He thought he knew God. And Saul was ill-informed, like many of us are ill-informed. We don't understand because we think that sometimes people, I hear people say, oh, well, I have my own relationship with God. Me and God, we're hooked up. I got a relationship with God, so I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to study. I don't need to do all those things. But they're ill-informed. And Saul, he thought he was doing God's will. He thought he was. And that's how people are that don't study, that they come to church and they don't apply it to themselves. They just come and then they go back out and they start doing the things they did. They think that they're doing God's will because they're good people. They come to church. Saul thought he was doing the right thing, but he was ill-informed. He was ill-informed. Many of us think we're in God's grace even while we're in sin. Saul was sinning against God. He was sinning against Christ. But yet he thought he had God's grace. He thought he had God's will to do what he was doing, persecuting and killing the Jews, the Christians, and trying to destroy it. And some of the reason he was doing that is because there was a jealousy. Because people began to follow them instead of going to the synagogue, instead of following the Jewish hierarchy. So there's a whole lot of things that come into play. And so, you know, he had a lot of hate and anger towards Christians, towards people that were following the way. So you need to ask yourself, this: what sin are you still in and still praising God? I mean, we all have it. We all have it. In James 3, it says this: with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. You see, we are all God's people. Now, you know, when you study the Old Testament, you find the Jewish, the Hebrews, they were God's chosen people. So they thought they had the superior thing. And then Christ came, the Messiah came. And we are all God's people. So we need to apply that to ourselves when we're out in the world, when we're out there dealing with people and such. We got to understand, they may be sinners, but so are we. They may not know the Lord, but at one time we didn't either. We need to treat them because they're still God's children. God created us all. Doesn't matter. He made us all. So, the first question there that you need to ask yourself, and you can fill in the blanks: do I need to be more informed? Do you need to study more? Do you need to go to Bible studies more? Do you need to read the Bible at home more? You that have families, the husband, are you taking this the what you should be, the spiritual head of the home? And are you sitting down with your family at least once a week and doing a study? Are you doing that? Are you learning who God is? Are you learning His character so that you can change your character to be more like Him? You need to ask yourself, do I need to be more informed? Do I need to be more informed? I can't answer that for you. You have to answer that. You have to allow God's Spirit, His conscience, to tell you what you need. And He'll show you. Verse 3 says this, As Saul, near Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul answered like this. He said, Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anything. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So what do we do? What happens when Jesus comes into our life, like He has each of us, I would hope, and makes you aware of your sin? Because that's what He did. He came to Saul in a blinding light and He said, Saul! Saul, why are you persecuting me? And when we sin, isn't that what we do to Christ? When we willfully and knowingly sin, don't we willfully and knowingly persecute our Lord and Savior? We do. We do. So we need to ask ourselves, what should happen when we are made aware of our sin and our sinful nature? What should we do? Well, we need to do like Saul. We need to turn our lives, ourselves, totally over to Jesus. What did he do when he said, Lord, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what to do. I mean, at that point in Saul's life, he didn't argue, did he? He got up and they led him into the city. Into Damascus. Do we do that? When God lays it on us and He says, look at what you're doing here. Listen to your conscience. Listen to my Holy Spirit. Look at the sin that you're in. Listen to me. Do we obey Him? Or do we continue to fight Him? The other thing that I gleaned out of this was, as a humble sinner, As a humbled sinner, God will direct us. You see, Saul was humbled, right? I mean, Saul was this proud guy. And he was gonna save the Jewish faith by killing all the Christians and putting them all in jail. And he was going to do all this. And he was sinning against Jesus. He was persecuting Jesus. And when he became aware of it, I mean, Jesus knocked him down. But isn't that what he does to us a lot of times? Then you go, bam! But Saul was humbled. He was humbled. And when we have this sin in us, when we have this sin that we know about, that we're actively doing, that we know that we shouldn't be doing, but we're doing it anyway, we can either be proud in that sin and not have it change, or we can be humbled by that sin. And listen to what God says. And then we can begin to move in the direction that God wants us to move in. Not in the direction that our sin wants us to move in. Because isn't that what was happening to Saul? He was persecuting the church. His sin was driving him. And our sin drives us. But we need to be humbled in our sin so that God can give us direction. Because if we're not humbled in it, our pride gets in the way. And we continue to sin. The other thing that I wanted to point out here is God does not often bring sinners to joy and peace without sorrows and distress of conscience. I want to read that again. God does not often bring sinners to joy and peace without sorrows and distress of conscience. For 3 days, Saul was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. For 3 days. So many times we have this misconception that when we come to Jesus Christ, oh, everything's going to be perfect. But you see, we have messed up our lives so bad that God has to allow us some pain. He has to allow us some sorrow. He has to have that happen to us so we can understand that He really loves us and cares for us. I mean, we can't just, oh, let all that stuff go because there have been other people involved in our sin. There have been other people that we've hurt. There have been other people that have hurt us. And we have to understand, we have to begin to understand this forgiveness that God gives us and this grace that God gives us, we have to do for other people. And that's hard. It's not easy. And it takes the strength of the Lord to do that. So, the second question here. Oh, Pastor Bob put the answers up already. All right, that's all right. What sin am I in? And am I humbled by it? And am I humbled by it? You need to ask yourself that. I can't answer that for you. You have to answer that. This is where you and the Holy Spirit get together and the Holy and you ask Jesus, you say, what do I need to work on, Lord? Where do I need to be humbled? What sin am I in? Most of the time we already know, but we're not humbled by it yet. The other question in number two there is, am I humbled by it enough to allow God to give me direction? Am I humbled enough by my sin that I'm willing to take the time to listen to what God's telling me and then take the risk and the chance to do that so that I can learn to trust Him more, so that I can learn to listen to Him more? Am I humbled enough by my sin to hear God say, go in this direction, my son, my daughter. Go do this. Go do that. Because if you're full of pride, you're not going to listen to Him. You're going to go, oh, no, God, I'm not going in that direction. I want to go in my own direction. I want to go in the direction that got me into the pit in the first place. And He'll go, okay, have at it. But I'm still here, and I still love you, and I still care for you. So think of that. What sin that you were in, and are you humbled by it? And are you humbled by it? There have been many sins that have humbled me, brought me to my knees. And it had to happen in order for me to hear God's direction. And that's what happens when you're humbled. It brings tears to your eyes because we begin to understand that the sin that we are doing, the persecution that we are doing toward the Lord, is egregious. And that's when we get humble, is when God brings tears to your eyes. Then you can listen to what God says. Then God can give you direction and you'll follow. You see, but you can't with all the pride. In Damascus, now my eyes are all teared up. Yeah, excuse me. But that's all right. You know what? I used to think it wasn't manly to cry. But that was the world telling me that. That was my false pride telling me that. It was one of the things God took from me. Thank God for that. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, and he said, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. And I want to stop right here a minute, okay? Because you remember when Saul was walking down the road to Damascus, and there was a blinding light, and he heard, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And do you remember what Saul said? He said, who are you, Lord? He didn't know him. If you don't know Jesus, you're not going to hear his voice. He didn't know him, but Ananias says, yes, Lord. He said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because he knew the Lord. And that's the other thing that happens when we accept the Lord. We begin to recognize his voice. And instead of saying, who are you, Lord? We say, yes, Lord. But the problem is we might go, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. But let's go on. Let's continue. I just thought that was an interesting point on how Saul didn't know the Lord. He thought he did because he was ill-informed. He was ill-informed. But you're not. And when Ananias, he called Ananias and he said, yes, Lord, he answered. Yes, Lord. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias replied, I have heard many, many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who are in your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, go, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. See, we get that misconception that we're going to come to the Lord and everything's going to be rosy. That's not what he says. He says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Many times in our walk with the Lord, we need to suffer. That sounds pretty scary, huh? I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to do that. I just want to have a good life. I want to be happy and I want to have all the stuff I want and all this and that. That's not how God works. That's not how he works. He needs to humble us in our sin. And when he does that, that's what he does. We begin to suffer because we've been sinning so long. And we have to go through that. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Ananias was scared to death, wasn't he? I don't want to go see that guy. Come on, Lord, don't have me go talk to him. Come on. I mean, he's been persecuting Christians. He's been doing this. He's even got a letter from the main office that says he can come and do whatever he wants to do. Please, Lord, don't send me to him. Don't send me to him. Sometimes God moves us in a direction that's scary. But you know what? Sometimes God wants us to talk to somebody and we don't know what that person's going to be. Here, God told Ananias that Saul was going to be an instrument to reach the Gentiles. He was going to be his instrument. So he, Ananias went knowing that God was sending him to somebody that could possibly kill him, but at the same time, he knew that this was someone that God was going to use in fulfilling the gospel, for spreading the gospel, for spreading the truth. So I say this because, you know, sometimes we're afraid to talk to someone. Sometimes God's nudging us and going, you know, I think you should go speak to that person. I don't know that person. I'm not going to talk to that person. It's a stranger. Don't do that, God. But you don't know why God's sending you there. That might be a new Billy Graham. It might be another Pastor Bob Metz. It might be another Mr. Roki. It might be a Miss Gale, a Mr. Martin. It might be a Larry. It might be a Balthazar, a Christine, an Enrique. You don't know who it is. But the fact is, God never moves us into something comfortable. Many times he moves us into something that's pretty scary. That's pretty scary. Now, I don't know if God is moving you today to do something, to talk to someone, to do something, to get involved in something. I don't know. And number three here, I should have put, is God moving you into something that you are afraid? Are you afraid? Are you afraid of where God's moving you? Are you afraid? And behind it I put, if yes, good. If yes, good, because then it's from God. If you're afraid to do it, God, I mean, that's just how he is. Because he wants us to trust him. See, Ananias trusted God more than he did his own fear. And we need to learn to do that. If you're not afraid, it's too bad. That's what it says. It's too bad. It's too bad for you. Because if you're not afraid, then God's not moving you. And if God's not moving you, then you're not listening to him. If he's not moving you, you're still caught up in that prideful sin. And you haven't been humbled into that sin to where you're willing to listen to what God has to say to move you into a direction that's scary so that you can learn to trust God more. So if you're not afraid, too bad. If you're afraid, good. Good. Because it means God's working in you. And let him work. But he will help you with that fear. He will help you to move into that, just like he did Ananias. So we're going to move on here. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Did you catch that? By proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Not guessing. Not being, well, maybe, you know, you ought to think about coming to the Lord. Nothing like that. Spoke boldly, didn't he? Spoke boldly. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plans. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through the opening in the wall. There was a plot to kill him. I mean, they wanted to kill him because he was telling the truth. They wanted to kill him. And he knew. And they guarded the gates so that he couldn't get in, couldn't get out. And so the disciple, they found a hole in the wall and they lowered him in a basket. And I don't know, the walls were pretty high. And he had to count on the strength of those guys, letting him down without falling. So the question is, We should be like Saul and share the gospel with the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is on our side. So many times we share the gospel with such hesitancy. And we're so timid because in today's society we can't offend anybody by pronouncing the word of Jesus Christ. Oh, we can't do that because we have to be tolerant. Well, I say bull. And I go back to Romans 7. Do not conform to the ways of this world. The Bible doesn't say to be tolerant. It doesn't say to be hesitant when you're sharing the gospel. It says speak it boldly. But you see, it's really difficult to speak the gospel boldly if you're not following it yourself, if you're not humbled in your sin, and if you're not listening to God and taking the direction from God. It's hard to be bold. So I submit to you that you need to be humbled in your sin. You need to begin to take direction from God. But remember, you can't do that unless you're humbled in your sin. Because if you're prideful in your sin, you're going to keep sinning. And you're going to keep doing the ways of the world. I'm challenging you. Because I'm leaving this week. I can do this. But hopefully it's touching your heart. Hopefully you're understanding through Acts 9, through study and everything, what we're talking about. We're talking about becoming more bold in our walk with the Lord, with His strength, with His boldness. Ananias had it when he had to go see Saul. Oh gosh, I don't want to do that. He might kill me. But he had trust in God because he'd been walking with God. He recognized His voice. And then Saul became bold because he began to recognize the Lord's voice. He recognized the truth. And so with the truth, he could go out and speak boldly and not be tolerant of everybody. And not be intolerant of the people that are going to bring you to hell. Makes no sense. Makes no sense. So number four here is, are you secure enough in Christ to speak boldly? Are you secure enough in your walk with the Lord to be able to go out and share that gospel with whoever God might be sending you to? Are you secure enough in that? And I submit that if you're not, you need more study. You need more prayer. You need more fellowship. You need more time at church. You need to hear more of God's word so that you can understand His character and get your character in line with His, so that you can be bold and speak the Lord's word. Are you secure enough? When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. This is Saul. But they were all afraid of him. This is Peter and all those guys. They were afraid of him. He had quite a reputation. They were afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached. Now listen to this. How in Damascus he preached fearlessly, fearlessly, fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Fearlessly. Not like us. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. But don't be offended. Come on. Fearlessly he did it. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him again. Isn't it interesting? Everywhere Saul went and he preached the Lord, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. Now, I don't think when we go out in the streets or wherever we go, when we preach the word of the Lord, it's very highly unlikely that somebody's going to want to kill us. Now, in China and other countries, they take Christians and they lock them up in jail, just like Paul. Later on, Saul's name got changed to Paul, and Paul wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament. But he was locked up, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was stoned and left for dead. How many of us are that bold? Not many of us. Not many of us. But we need to be bold in our Lord. We need to be humbled in our sin. Because in that humility, he can begin to direct us. He can begin to direct us. So we need to expect to be persecuted by the people that knew us before we came to Jesus. People look at me like I'm a freak now. But they understand that it's real. They understand that it's real. I talk to my Christian brothers and sisters and I tell them what my life was like before. And it wasn't like Saul, but close. I didn't kill anybody because they believed in Jesus, but I sure didn't want to hear any of that born again crap. That was me. Drinking and fighting and womanizing and doing all, lying and cheating and doing all those things. You see, only God can make a transformation like that. Only God can take a guy like Saul and change him into a bold, fearless, spreading the word of the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. Only he can do that. But you know what? He can only do that if you are a willing partner. Now, he had to slap Saul down. He had to blind him. But isn't that what he does to us? Doesn't he lock us up, throw us in jail, get our vehicles repossessed, you know, get us kicked out of places? Doesn't he bring us down? Doesn't he allow those things to happen to get your attention? He doesn't do it because he doesn't love you. He allows that to happen so that you need him, so that he can show his love to you and bring you up out of that pit. So, number five there, you got to ask yourself, are you secure enough in Christ to stand up against your past? Are you secure enough in Christ to stand up against your past? Because your past is what defines who you are. It was Saul's past that made him so viciously violent against the Christians. It's the way he was raised. It's the way he was taught. It's just like us. If we're raised in an abusive home, if we're raised with drugs and alcohol, if we're raised with pornography, if we're raised with all that sort of stuff, that's who we are. That's our sinful nature. And that's what we have to recognize, and that's what we have to become humble in. That's when we have to become tearful, that I am such a despicable person, Lord. I can't do this anymore, Lord. Then I can listen to what he has to say. Then I can begin to move into the direction that he wants me to move into. Now listen to the last verse here. It says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. It increased in numbers because they were speaking boldly. They were sharing the gospel. They were sharing what God is doing in their life. People saw the transition. People look at you that you know, you some of you may have been in gangs. Some of you may have been doing whatever, in prison, whatever. And people see, and that's what they remember. But now they see you, and it's like, what is the deal with that guy? What's the deal with that woman? That's not who I remember. You might even have been in a gang or something where people feared you. the wrong kind of fear. But you notice when all this happened, the churches enjoyed peace and was strengthened. When all those things happened, when Saul got slapped down and Ananias got scared to death because he had to go talk to him, when there were all kinds of plots to kill Saul, the hardest thing for me is when I'm around my family because they're not saved. And I have done many, many things in my life and they still remember all that. They remember how Dad would make this promise or that promise and not follow through. They remember that. It's hard. It's hard. But what did Jesus say to Saul? Or to Ananias, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And look at all the people that are following Jesus Christ today because Saul was bold, because Saul suffered for his name. And you have to ask yourself, are you ready to suffer for him? Are you ready to be persecuted? Are you ready to find out what sin you're living in that God wants to humble you in? Miss Lisa, you maybe come up and play something because I'm about to close. I don't even know what time it is. I don't even know how long I took today. But this is this scripture, and you know this is just chapter 9 in Acts. Verse 1 through 31. Look at all that was in that. And we have a whole book of that. We have a whole book of it. One of the hardest things for me when I'm preaching is to end. And I don't know where God has touched your heart today. I have no idea. And I can't say what sin you're living in. I can't say what sin you need to be humbled in. I can't say the direction that God wants to lead you in. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ like Saul, I know where the Lord wants you to come. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to come to Him. So, I'm not going to have you bow your head, lower your heads and ask you to raise your hands. But I am going to ask the Holy Spirit to nudge you. And I'm going to ask Pastor Bob to come up. Because I know that some of you in here would like to have some prayer. And Pastor Bob will come up and pray for you. And remember, he's your pastor. Remember, you have your brothers and sisters here that you have a sin that you're living in, that you need to get rid of, that you need to confess, you need to share. Because when you share that sin, that's when God can take it away. That's when God can take it away. So with that, if anybody, needs prayer right now, I'm just going to ask you to come up. Pastor Bob will be up here. The rest of you, if you'd just like to bow your head and pray a bit for the people that the Lord is nudging. And if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it would be my honor for you to come up that I might lead you to that. Because it is a privilege.